we begin this chapter, I want you to understand and know that we come to another hiatus. If you'll remember, between the sixth and seventh seals, there was an interlude, and the reason for that interlude was two groups were redeemed and sealed. But here we're going to have an interlude as God is going to introduce three personalities to us. And in this chapter, the mighty angel is described, and then the two witnesses are introduced, though they're not identified. But tonight we're going to look at the strong angel with the little book. And so if you've got your Bibles open to Revelation chapter 10, if you would rise as we honor the Lord with the reading of his word. And God's word says unto us, "And I saw another mighty angel come down from heaven, clothed with a cloud, and a rainbow was upon his head, and his face was as it were the sun, and his feet as pillars of fire. And he had in his hand a little book open, and he set his right foot upon the sea, and his left foot upon the earth, and cried with a loud voice, as when a lion roareth. And when he had cried, seven thunders uttered their voices. And when the seven thunders had uttered their voices, I was about to write, and I heard a voice from heaven saying unto me, Seal up those things which the seven thunders uttered, and write them not. And the angel which I saw stand upon the sea and upon the earth lifted up his hand to heaven, and swear by him that liveth forever and ever, who created heaven and the things that therein are, and the earth and the things that therein are, and the sea and the things which are therein, that there should be time no longer. But in the days of the voice of the seventh angel, when he shall begin to sound, the mystery of God should be finished, as he hath declared to his servants the prophets." Well, Father, we just thank you for your word once again unto us as we come back to our study through the book of Revelation. Lord, we want to thank you tonight for all that you have taught us so far. And Lord, we ask for an ear that can hear and a mind that can understand the things that you will share with us tonight, that we might have a good understanding of all that is to take place, that our hearts would be ready, but more importantly, that our testimony would be sure, and we would be sure to share our testimony with those who are lost and dying in this world today. Lord, let every man, every soul, every child, every woman look up to heaven and repent of their sin and put their faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. This is our plea, and it is our prayer. And for those of us who know Christ as Savior, may our faith be made more sure because we have been in the presence of God and in the presence of his word tonight. In Jesus' name we pray, and all of God's people said, Amen. Now let me ask you tonight to keep your Bibles open. You can be seated, but you keep your Bibles open so that you can follow along, and you might want to write or mark down something. But as we come to Revelation chapter 10, and again in verse 1, we read, "And I saw another mighty angel come down from heaven, clothed with a cloud, and a rainbow was upon his head, and his face was as it were the sun, and his feet as pillars of fire." Well, the very first point that we need to make tonight is that this mighty angel is not Jesus Christ, because Jesus Christ does not appear in Revelation as an angel. And while it is true that in the Old Testament he did appear as the pre-incarnate Christ, as an angel of the Lord, after he took upon himself humanity, after he died, and after he rose again and received his glorified body, we now see him in heaven in the place of great power and glory at God's right hand. We never see him in the New Testament as an angel again. Today, he is revealed as the post-incarnate Christ, and he is exalted to the nth degree. And it is well for us to remember the book of Revelation is the unveiling of Jesus Christ in all of his glory, in all of his power, and in all of his performance, all of his personhood as they unfold in each chapter before us. And so Christ is now the judge, judging a Christ-rejecting earth. Now brings me to a second point tonight. We find here that this angel has a rainbow upon his head. Well, you might wonder, you might think, well, what's so significant about a rainbow? Well, a rainbow is a reminder that God put in the sky to remind man and to remind God that he will never again destroy the earth by flood. We're also told that his face was as the sun. This, if you will, is his badge of identification. And if you remember from your Old Testament reading, is there an example we can look to? Most certainly. The Bible says that when Moses was in the presence of God, when he came out, his face shone so brightly that the people of Israel said, you need to cover that thing up. And he had to put a veil upon his face. This angel's face is shining because he has been in the presence of Almighty God. He's been in the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ. When I stop and think about that, I think, you know, after we've come to church, after we've worshiped, when we go out these doors, our face ought to be shining. Our hearts ought to be lit up with the light of Christ, so much so that our faces shine, that people might see we have been with Christ. Amen? Oh, how we need to get excited today in this world in which we're living. And I pray that you can recall from reading in the Gospel of Luke, how Luke wrote of how the raiment of the angels at the resurrection of Jesus Christ just shone. We're told here that his feet were as pillars of fire, meaning that he has come to make a solemn and a special announcement of coming judgment. God will never again destroy the earth by flood, but we do know that God will melt the earth with a fervent heat. The earth will be tried with fire. Well, we read on and we find that he had in his hand a little book open. And he set his right foot upon the sea and his left foot upon the earth and cried with a loud voice as when a lion roareth. And when he had cried, seven thunders uttered their voices. Well, if you remember, this little book was originally in the hands of the Father in heaven. You remember, we read in Revelation 5 and 1, and I saw in the right hand of him that sat on the throne a book written therein on the backside sealed with seven seals. And if you'll remember, that book was given from God the Father to Christ the Son to open it because he was the only one who was worthy to open that book. And when he opened it, the breaking of the seven seals and the seven trumpets commenced, and six trumpets have already been blown so far, and they are still part of what is in the book. And we're told that after he had removed the seals, the Lord Jesus then transfers the book to an angel who is eventually going to give it to John to eat. This is the book of the title deed of the earth, and it contains the judgments of the great tribulation by which the Lord Jesus Christ is coming in great power. The book is now open, and the judgments are on display, and we've talked about some of those judgments. This book is the angel's authority for claiming both the sea and the earth for Jesus Christ. He puts one foot on the sea and one foot on the earth, and he is claiming both for God. Friends, if you remember your Old Testament, and a great way to understand the book of Revelation is have a good understanding of what God has said in the Old Testament. And in the Old Testament book of Leviticus, the 25th chapter, the 23rd verse, the Lord Jesus gave instructions to Israel concerning the land that he had given them. This is what he said. The land shall not be sold forever, for the land is mine, for ye are strangers and sojourners with me. This is both a lesson and a reminder for even us in our day. The things we think we own, the things we claim we own, they're not ours. They belong to God. James wrote, every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and comes down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variableness nor shadow of turning. What we claim we own belongs to God. We own nothing. Friend, do you not know you came into this world with nothing? And it's sure certain you're going out with nothing as well. All we have then comes to us from the gracious hand of Almighty God. You know, I've had the opportunity to preach a few funerals in my lifetime. And before I was a preacher, I had opportunity to go to many funerals in my lifetime. And I've yet to see a U-Haul connected to a casket. It just don't happen. We don't take anything out with us when we go, do we? Everything is a gift. Beyond that, the psalmist wrote, the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. God created it all, and so it all belongs to him. God created you, and you belong to him, but there are many who don't want to belong to God today, and so they reject him. They try to live a life apart from their creator. With the title deed of the earth in his hand, and by placing his right foot on the sea and his left foot on the earth, in a great voice, the angel claims all for Jesus Christ. The kingdoms of this world will become the kingdoms of the Lord Jesus Christ through judgment. As creator and as redeemer, the world belongs to him. This book here is described as a little book because the time of the great tribulation will not be long. We are told in the book of Romans, the 9th chapter, the 28th verse, for he will finish the work and cut it short in righteousness, because the Lord will make a short work upon the earth. And if you remember, the prophet Daniel prophesied the tribulation period would be a 7-year period. And the seven thunders is God's amen to the angel's claim. The Jews were accustomed to speak of thunder as the seven voices of God. And in the 29th Psalm, though it is a brief psalm, the voice of the Lord occurs 7 times. Israel spoke of thunder as being the voice of the Lord and the 7 voices of God. And so we read here, and when the 7 thunders had uttered their voices, I was about to write, and I heard a voice from heaven saying unto me, seal up those things which the 7 thunders uttered, and write them not. Well, this verse lets us know something. It lets us know that the 7 thunders were intelligible. This confirmation is also a statement. John was a scribe, you'll remember. Jesus told him to write the revelation, and he was taking down the visions and recording them as they were given to him. He was about to write what the seven voices of God had spoken. He heard it. They were audible words, but he was forbidden to write down, to write it down. Now, I find that interesting. What about you? I find it interesting because if this is a book of revelation, why is there something concealed? This is the only place in Revelation where something is concealed. Nothing else is. God makes it very clear at the end of the book that he has told everything. He's not holding back anything from man today. At the end, John writes, "And he saith unto me, seal not the sayings of the prophecy of this book, for the time is at hand," Revelation 22:10. Yet in this particular message of the seven thunders, John is not permitted to write it down. Well, this is quite interesting, don't you think? If this angel were Jesus Christ, John would have fallen down and have been worshiping him. And I say this because that is exactly what he did at the very beginning when he saw the glorified Christ in Revelation chapter 1. And so we know that this angel is not Jesus Christ. It's only an angel. It would be foolish to presume what the seven thunders spoke, because the Lord Jesus told John to seal them up. And so they remain a secret to this day, which no man knows. And so what are you and I to do? We're to do exactly what the Bible tells us to do. Deuteronomy 29:29 says this: "The secret things belong to the Lord our God, but those things which are revealed belong unto us and to our children forever." Friends, faith lets us know that if God wanted the meaning to be revealed to us, he would have done so. But he said, seal it up, and we have to accept that by faith. I believe there are a great many things God has not told us yet. For example, Paul wrote, "For now we see through a glass darkly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then shall I know, even as I am also fully known," 1 Corinthians 13:12. We only see but a shadow, don't we? We only see so much, but we cannot see all. When we get to heaven, we'll know what the seven thunders spoke, what the seven voices of God said. Until then, we have to have faith to trust that God is revealing to us all we need to know in the here and now. And you know what? That's exactly what Peter wrote. Peter wrote in 2 Peter 1:3, "According as his divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness, through the knowledge of him that hath called us to glory and virtue." God has given us what we need to know. And as the songwriter wrote, "Trials dark on every hand, and we cannot understand all the ways that God would lead us to that blessed promised land. But he guides us with his eye, and we'll follow him till we die, for we'll understand it better by and by." Amen. Verse 5, "And the angel which I saw stand upon the sea and upon the earth lifted up his hand to heaven and swear by him that liveth forever and ever, who created heaven and the things that therein are, and the earth and the things that therein are, and the sea and the things which are therein, that there should be time no longer." And again, the angel makes it clear that he is not and could not be Jesus Christ, since he takes an oath by the eternal creator. This verse says he lifted up his hand to heaven and swore. He took an oath, in other words. If he were Jesus Christ, he would swear by himself. That's what the Bible teaches, Hebrews 6:13. For when God made promise to Abraham, because he could swear by no greater, he swore by himself. God could not swear by anything else, because there is nothing greater than God himself. The angel swore by another, because he is not Jesus Christ. Now here we also have confirmation of Jesus Christ, Olivet Discourse, found in Matthew 24. Jesus said in Matthew 24 and 22, "And unless those days were shortened, no flesh would be saved, but for the elect's sake, those days will be shortened." The angel is telling the elect, it won't be long. We can say that today in our world, can't we? With everything that we got going on around this world, all that God has spoken about, all that God is revealing, all the signs of the times are here. Friend, do you know it won't be long, will it? Are you ready? Are you ready to go if he were to come tonight? The angel is telling the elect, it won't be long. He wants them to know that he who endures to the end will be saved. Why? Because they are sealed. They are going to make it through the great tribulation period. You remember the cry of the martyrs in Revelation 6 and 10? And they cried with a loud voice, saying, "How long, O Lord, holy and true, dost thou not judge and avenge our blood on them that dwell on the earth?" Revelation 6:10. It's also the fulfillment of a prayer that we prayed. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done. Thy kingdom come. Every time we pray the Lord's Prayer, every time we pray just that first sentence, thy kingdom come, thy will be done, we're praying that it won't be long. Verse 7. But in the days of the voice of the seventh angel, when he shall begin to sound, the mystery of God should be finished, as he hath declared to his servants the prophets. Friends, you realize there's a mystery concerning the nation of Israel. Judgment, suffering, injustice, the silence of God, and the coming kingdom. The basic problem could be summed up this way. Why does God permit evil, and why has God tolerated it for so long? Have you ever wondered at that? Why? Why does God allow evil? Why has he tolerated it for so long? Well, do you want to know something? I've studied theology for many years. And I know the answers that men give. But I want you to remember this. God has not handed in his answer yet. He's going to do that someday soon, as this passage of Scripture indicates. The fact that there is something we don't know because it has been sealed means that God has a whole lot more yet to tell us. Amen? And when we finally arrive in his presence, we're going to find out. But for now, all we can do is live by faith. And the Bible teaches that, doesn't it? The just shall live by faith. Habakkuk said it. Paul quoted it. The just shall live by faith. For now, all we can do is put our faith in the Lord Jesus Christ and know that it is going to be all right. That's what Brother Marty reminds us of at least once a week. Amen. I believe God put Brother Marty in our midst to remind us it's going to be all right. Matter of fact, you might want to try saying that tonight just to calm yourself, just to know there's something freeing in that. Try it with me. It's going to be all right. And you want to know why it's going to be all right? Because God is in control, and Jesus Christ is coming soon. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we just thank you tonight again for your word to us as we take it little by little. Lord, again, we pray that you would grant us great understanding from this book of Revelation. Lord, give us wisdom beyond our years, wisdom for our days, that we might be able to share with others their need to come to salvation in Christ Jesus our Lord. Father, we thank you for the precious blood of Christ that was shed for us. And, oh, Lord, we're looking forward to meeting you and to all the glories that you hold in store for us. Until then, Lord, just help us to live by faith and to hold on, because the just shall live by faith, and it'll be all right. Father, we thank you tonight for your word unto us. We ask that you would bless us abundantly more than we could ever ask, hope, or think. And Lord, thank you. Thank you for your word unto us. Thank you for being our Savior. Thank you for the time together tonight. In Christ's name we pray. Amen and amen. Tonight, as you dwell upon what God has shared with you for just a moment, this is a time for prayer in our nation as never before. This is a time for prayer in our lives as never before. Perhaps you have a loved one that you're very concerned about. Someone you're not sure they're saved. Someone who's going through some very trying times. Perhaps you're here and you just need prayer tonight. But I'm going to ask as you stand to sing that if God has laid somebody on your heart tonight, would you take advantage of the altar? If you can't kneel, there's room in these front pews to sit. And if you yourself need prayer tonight, as we stand and sing, you come forward and let me pray with you tonight.